This is Fresh Air. That's Gene Pitney performing Viva Schafe Vegas. It's the title song from an upcoming Cinemax comedy special starring Paul Schaefer. Schaefer is known to late-night TV viewers as David Letterman's bandleader. In his first comedy special, Schaefer fulfills a fantasy of headlining with a gaudy act at a Las Vegas nightclub. The show is co-written and directed by Schaefer's buddy, Harry Shearer. Besides directing comedy specials he's done to others, Shearer writes and performs on radio, TV, and in the movies. He spent 2 years as a cast member on Saturday Night Live, and he co-wrote and co-starred in the heavy metal movie spoof, This is Spinal Tap. When I talked with Shearer, he told me that he and his friends have a strange fascination with Vegas.
Paul Schaefer and I and Tom Leopold, these are the two people that I worked on the show with, we started going to Vegas about 3 years ago, not really with this show in mind, but just sort of on what were unconscious scouting expeditions, just going there to sort of steep ourselves in the place because I guess we were at an age where we weren't scared of it anymore or something, or where we had the money to fly in whenever we wanted, something like that. We don't in our show, for example, show people gambling away their life savings, although there is that element to Vegas, but that's not the Vegas that this show is about. This show is about the show business side of Vegas, what it's like to be an entertainer hanging out there.
Tell me the truth. Does Paul Schaefer really want to be Mr. Entertainment?
Well, I don't know what that means. I mean, Paul does love show business and has a very knowing appreciation for a lot of the artifice of the business, and knowing that it's artifice doesn't make it any less real to him.
Could you sell out? Could you be the kind of performer who plays Vegas?
There are people who can play Vegas who don't have to sell out. Certain musicians. I mean, I don't think, for example, one of the musicians who performs in our show, Sam Butera, who's sort of an old line bop musician. I don't think he's selling out when he's playing Vegas. He's playing the music he loves, and he plays it real well, you know. And he's got a band that's great and great arrangements. And I think that's part of what we wanted to show in Vegas, was that there is more than one aspect of Vegas show business. I think a lot of people think Vegas and think of just the sort of the cliche lounge singer wearing the lamé jacket and sort of butchering rock and roll songs for the sake of, you know, middle-aged gamblers from the Midwest. And that's there. As far as myself, I would find it very uncomfortable to play Vegas, only because when I'm doing whatever I do on stage, I sort of want a more attentive audience than one that's thinking about, you know, how much to tip the maitre d' and should we play craps next or go back to the slots.
You seem to have gotten into show business at a really early age. Didn't you work on the Jack Benny radio show
yeah.
when you were a child?
Yeah, and Lux Radio Theater, and I was in Abbott and Costello Go to Mars. Yeah, I was into it from the age of 7.
How'd you get into it?
From the age of 4, I had this piano teacher, and she had a daughter who was a child actress, and possibly as a result of fatigue at trying to teach me piano, she decided to make a career change and to stop being a piano teacher and start being a children's agent, because she had all these contacts from, you know, having her daughter in the business. So when I was 6, she called my parents, and I think she knew that I was really hung up on this stuff. I was an avid radio listener and television watcher, and she called up my parents and she said, I'm going to try to get Harry some work. And they said, great, yeah, fine, uh-huh. And 8 months passed by, and it seemed like just a goofy conversation that had occurred once. And then she called one day and said, I have an audition for Harry for the Jack Benny show. And I went in and got it.
You're writing and performing your own material now on a radio show that you do on the National Public Radio affiliate in Santa Monica, KCRW.
Mm-hmm.
What's your show like? What do you do on it?
Radio is a place where it's very easy to sort of take an idea and get it done in a hurry. And if you're working in the television and movie businesses, that's a very valuable commodity, because ideas grow stale while people have meetings and more meetings and more meetings to discuss whether you're going to be allowed to do them. basically, it was a way to keep myself writing and interested while waiting for, you know, people to make up their various minds about things. Then after I left Saturday Night Live, I realized that it was also about the only place that I was going to be able to do political humor, because I was not allowed to do it on Saturday Night.
From CPR, Continental Public Radio, this is At Loggerheads. On the right, the Reverend Jerry Falwell. On the left, the Reverend Jesse Jackson. Today's topic, colorizing old movies.
Jesse, there was a time when the secular humanists were content to take God out of the classroom. But today they also want to turn Humphrey Bogart into a pinko. Literally. Without a moral compass to guide us, there is no limit to which the cultural...
Jesse. Jerry, as a gentleman of color, I'm always glad to see the world made safe for pigmentation. Because it's a short line from a color bar to the color bars. And the same people that want to take the red out of a movie scene didn't want to take the lead out of our gasoline. Of course, the wealthy and privileged...
You like to watch a lot of bad TV, I take it?
Yeah.
I find bad TV very comforting. I don't know that I could explain that, but when I'm feeling really troubled, there's nothing that makes me feel better than turning on a really stupid TV show.
Yeah, well, I it's part of my theory that there's nothing worse than good TV.
You want to elaborate on that theory?
Yeah, I just find nothing as boring and sort of pretentious and filled with its own sense of we're doing something good for a change than you know, the shows that are supposed to be good on television. I've never watched an episode of Hill Street Blues all the way through, for example. But I can watch Dark Shadows till the cows come home.
Telethons are always fun.
Telethons are the best, you know. Telethons, when they're real telethons. I mean, the Jerry Lewis telethon is not a real telethon anymore. It's basically a parade of pre-recorded commercials. But a real telethon where people have to ad-lib and keep things going and, what, where, what do we do now? What, where? To me, that's always exciting. I mean, the thrill in years gone by of waiting up to that moment where you knew that Jerry Lewis was going to lose it because it just, it was too much for him. And was gonna, I mean, the memories I have of nights when he would just start out and his he would start addressing his so-called Vegas friends who weren't coming through and stuff like that. That's wonderful.
Do you ever watch Saturday Night Live, which you used to be on?
Yeah, every once in a while.
Do you ever? This is gonna sound like a kind of catty question to ask, but do you ever hope that the show flops? Because I know you didn't left.
Hope that the show flops? I don't. I don't think that's necessary. Yeah, I mean, I don't wish that show particularly well, if that's what you mean.
Yeah, why not?
Well, because it was the worst 2 years of my life. But, you know, a lot of the people who made it that way aren't there anymore. It's just, I guess the thing that I feel most strongly about it is that it's real sad to see that. It was sad while I was there, and it's sad when I watch it to see this, what's a pretty remarkable opportunity, get so routinely thrown away. I mean, when I was there, most of the writers I knew there sort of were proud of the fact that they didn't read the paper, you know, which seems sort of dumb for a live show that had topical pretensions.
You said it was the worst 2 years of your life. What made it so bad?
Well, it's sort of a foxhole situation, you know. All the stakes are real high. People's behavior tends to deteriorate in inverse proportion to the amount of money they're being paid. And there's a lot there. When I was there, there was a lot of money around. There was a great lack of ensemble feeling, despite the pretensions. To me, the greatest piece of acting that went on at that show was the end of the show, when everybody would gather together and sort of, you know, sway to the music, and it was like the end of, you know, camp.
I don't mean this to sound like a career goal question, but what would you like to be doing in the near future?
Well, you know, I have movies I want to make, and I'd like to take the stuff that I do on radio and in terms of topical, fairly sharp political stuff and see if it's possible to do it on television.
Harry Shearer co-wrote and directed Viva Schafe Vegas, starring Paul Schaefer. It premieres this week on Home Box Office. He's also preparing a new weekly public radio series satirizing the ongoing Iran-Contra hearings.